Ezekiel 25:17. The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who in the name of charity and goodwill shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness, for he is truly his brother's keeper and the finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.
Sunday morning, and this is Sunday Sermons on the Fan. I am your fill-in host today, Dave Sinekin, in for Dan Barrero, enjoying the day after Christmas. Hope you all had a wonderful day. And I want you to know that I've gotten the Packers conversation out of my system in the previous hour, so relax. I'm fully aware it's Vikings game day, 3 hours from kickoff. 1 hour from Vikings football Sunday. Is that what we call it, Brett Blakemore? I always forget the name.
Vikings football Sunday.
It's not that the cleverest good. Name. You know, we could come up with something a bit more clever, but the Vikings pregame show begins 1 hour from now, 2 hours to get you set for a huge game at the bank between the Vikings and Rams. And you have a breaking news sounder, Mr. Blakemore, we can hit right now? Some breaking Vikings news. We need some kind of a announcement, some kind of a sound effect. Something you could perhaps find on the button bar that would get people to understand, to pay attention, because we have breaking news. That's as far as I can. You don't have it, do you?
I'm really trying here.
Unbelievable.
Put me on the spot.
We've got like 18 breaking news sounders. Every show has one.
I thought there was one here.
All right, well, we'll just go with it. Ding, ding, ding. How's that?
There you go.
That backup quarterback, Sean Mannion, placed on the COVID list this morning by... I believe he's the one vaccinated quarterback in the room.
Oh my gosh. Above average. Wow.
So that's significant because it means Kellen Mond is your backup. It'll be the first time he puts a uniform on, is active on game day. And, you know, when a quarterback gets put on the COVID list, you worry about the other quarterbacks in the room, whether they've been exposed, because Mannion is vaccinated. He tested positive. And Kirk Cousins, by all reports, is unvaccinated. And, you know, you certainly hope that he can somehow dodge this variant that is just attacking this world right now. And when it comes to professional college sports, any kind of organized athletics, it's not a day-by-day thing. It's a minute-by-minute thing about who's available and who isn't. And we know Dalvin Cook isn't today. And now Sean Mannion isn't either. And Kirk, we know, dealing with a cracked rib, not going to be 100%, certainly hasn't looked himself the last couple weeks. But you clearly hope that he has kept as far away from Sean Mannion as possible these last couple days. But for now, he's good to go. For today, Kellen Mond, the backup. Lots of Vikings talk this hour, and I'll be joined next segment by Ben Gessling, Star Tribune Vikings beat reporter, kind enough to join next segment to give his take on what we expect to see when the Rams come to town for just a huge game for both teams. You know, the Rams suddenly are leading the NFC West due to the inevitable blow up of the Arizona Cardinals, who just every year, it seems, the back half of the season just fall apart. And they have done that, lost three straight, and have fallen to the wild card side of things. The Rams, if they needed extra motivation, I don't think they did, because they know they have to win all these games, but they are now the number three seed. They went to bed on Christmas Eve as the number five seed in the NFC, and when Christmas ended, in light of the Cardinals' loss, they are now the three seed in the NFC. And so they will be absolutely motivated, of course, to take care of business against the Vikings today, who will be playing without Dalvin Cook, with a banged-up Kirk Cousins. But likely, it appears, against Adam Thielen, who appears to be back, expected to play per Adam Schefter early this morning. Thielen just a couple weeks removed from the high ankle sprain. And that's usually a longer injury for a player to just miss, you know, a week or two is remarkable. So hopefully Thielen can get on the field today, because obviously the matchup everyone's going to watch is Jalen Ramsey shadowing Justin Jefferson. And if he's able to do that and take Jefferson out of the equation in large part, and I'm not saying he will, but if he's able to make Jefferson just a mere mortal today, Kirk Cousins is going to have to find some action elsewhere on the field. And obviously having Thielen back is absolutely huge. So is he 100%? Probably not. But the fact that he's expected to play is a really good sign for the Purple, whose offense has just been disastrous, obviously. The last 19 possessions, 9 punts, 3 interceptions, a turnover on downs. That's 13 of the 19 have not gone well. So, and it's obviously not easy when Dalvin's not out there. And so you're going against a team that stops the run. So I don't think you can expect an explosive day from Alexander Mattison, but you just want enough, right, so that you can't put it all on Cousins, because he's probably dealing with that rib where it hurts to breathe, it hurts to laugh, it hurts to do anything, and you need him to get through this game, because we're a heartbeat away from Kellen Mond taking the field. And, you know, nothing against the rookie, but you don't want him stepping out of the field for the first time in his career against that defense. So much to watch in this game. Not just Ramsey against JJ, but how does that interior of offensive line deal with Aaron Donald? How do they, Akeem Hicks, you know, I'm a, you know, not a fan, but I know what a difference Akeem Hicks makes on that Bears team, and he misses as many games as he plays. And when he plays, you notice him. We certainly noticed him Monday night. He was a wrecker of the Vikes offensive line. And now they've got to deal with Donald. And obviously not just Donald. You got Von Miller. You've got Leonard Floyd. You've got a great group of pass rushers. And you're dealing with Mason Cole on IR with an elbow injury. So Ole Udo maybe goes back to right guard. You know, Cleveland at left guard. Bradbury at center. Those guys are the guys you have to just pray can do their job to just not allow Donald and company to just wreck things. We have not seen a player like Aaron Donald in 20 years on the defensive side of the ball. I don't know that there's been a better defensive player since Lawrence Taylor in this league for what he can do. And again, a guy who dropped, you know, in the draft, what did he went like 14th or something. And, you know, he went to Pitt. He wasn't like this dominant, huge, like, you got to draft him guy. It's just a credit to him for the player he has become. And what he can do to an offensive line is frightening. And, yeah, I don't love the matchup here. And you'd love to have Cook for just that ability to drop the ball off in the screen game. And maybe Madison can be that guy that catches those screens and just takes the heat off that pass rush. But, you know, it's funny because the season's so long. And every team's like the flavor of the month for a while. And, you know, it was the Rams early. Then it was the Cardinals. It was probably the Pack. You know, the Pack's kind of held on to that because they haven't lost. But everybody's loving up the Rams right now. And there's still a lot of questions with that team. Yes, they've assembled a team, an all-star team. I don't think they have a draft pick now until like 2028. You know, they have mortgaged their future for sure. And anything short of a Super Bowl is a complete failure for them, because they're not going to be able to do much to their roster. And when you build an all-star roster like the Rams have, you are so susceptible to, you know, one injury. You know, you knock Ramsey out, and they don't have a lot of depth. They haven't drafted players much lately They don't have a lot of depth. So they're an all-star team, but, you know, in this era of COVID, you know, and they've been fairly fortunate to not lose too many players of note. And we'll see if that fortune continues. But they're a team more than most that cannot withstand injuries, a wave of COVID, because they just don't have the depth. And they've got a couple issues today. They're down their left tackle, Andrew Whitworth, who is almost my age. He's 40. His backup, okay, truth in advertising, I'm nowhere close to 40. But the point is, he's an old guy, just not as old as me. His backup is out too. So the Rams are down to their third string left tackle. So the Vikings pass rush, which, you know, we all know leads the league in sacks, they have an opportunity today to make things uncomfortable for Matthew Stafford. It's not just the Rams front making things uncomfortable for Cousins. I do believe the Vikes have a chance to make things uncomfortable for Stafford, who, when there's pressure up the middle, he tends to wilt, and we've seen it. No matter what uniform he's wearing, he is susceptible to pressure, and the Vikes can apply that pressure, and that's an opportunity there with some issues on their offensive line to get Stafford uncomfortable. And what do you do with Cooper Kupp? I mean, they just find a way to get the ball in his hands. And a real challenge for the Vikings today. He's going to get his 10 catches. We know that. But just try to step up on third down in the red zone. You know, you got OBJ on the other side. Now, there's all stars. There's all pros. There's big names everywhere on this team. But they are beatable, and they're not all that. They have not looked all that impressive the last 6 weeks. They seem to have gotten their mojo back the last few weeks. But let's see how that roadshow travels in a tough environment today against a Vikings team that knows it's basically in the playoffs right now, right? I mean, well, we know they're in the playoffs officially. The Vikes are the 7th seed. We know this. And if they win out, they're the 7th seed. I don't think they can move up to 6. I don't think they can catch San Francisco, even though they, I guess if San Fran loses and the Vikes don't, they can. But obviously the Niners own the tiebreaker on the purple. But the playoffs have begun, and they began Monday night, and the Vikes got the win. It wasn't pretty, but it was a win. And now these next two games are obviously tricky, right? Rams today in Green Bay next Sunday night. The Packers certainly didn't scare anybody yesterday, right? I mean, if not for Baker Mayfield, you know, maybe the officials, if you want to go there. Green Bay has a hard time holding on to that game last night. And you put a more competent quarterback on the field, along with a running back who can do the things that Chubb did, and you can make things difficult right now for Green Bay. So I don't think the Vikes have a lot of fear going into Lambeau next Sunday night. But they have to get this one. Because if you lose this one and you fall to 7-8, it may not mathematically be over. I think I saw if they win today, they have a 50% chance to reach the playoffs. If they lose today, it drops to 11%. So you're not dead with a loss, but you need a whole lot of help. And by all accounts, it's pretty much over. So got to get a W today. Rams favored by 3. Thielen back, no Dalvin. And as I said, the news breaking just moments before I started, Sean Mannion placed on the COVID list this morning. Kellen Mond is your backup and will be active for the first time as a Minnesota Viking. So let's talk about it. Let's welcome Ben Gessling after the break, Star Tribune beat reporter for the Purple, and preview the big matchup 2 hours and change from now at U.S. Bank Stadium as we roll on a one-hour tour of Sunday Sermons.
The Fan.
Sunday Sermons is brought to you by JTR Roofing.
Back with you at 9:19. It's Sunday Sermons on the Fan. Dave Sinekin in for Dan Barrero. A one-hour tour. Vikings football Sunday at the top of the hour. 2 hours to get you set for kickoff at U.S. Bank Stadium. The Vikings and Rams, you'll hear it here on the home of the Purple. P.A. Bursich, Coleman, cast of thousands. Kickoff shortly after noon. The boom will be lowered just after 12. And let's talk about the big game with Vikings beat reporter for the Star Tribune, fan favorite Ben Gessling, kind enough to join us. He's at the stadium as we speak. Ben, good morning. Hope you had a great Christmas, and you ready for some football?
I am, Dave. Merry Christmas to you as well. Got here just in time to do this from the radio booth this morning. So the place is nice and quiet. Won't be for very long, but yeah, ready to get ready for a big game here.
So the news broke just before the start of this show that Sean Mannion was placed on the COVID list, and that means Kellen Mond is a play away from taking real snaps in a real playoff atmosphere. Let's talk about the quarterback room and how concerned we should be. I mean, we're living in an age where you have to refresh Twitter every 10 minutes to see who's playing.
Yeah.
Are we sure Kirk is okay? He's tested through and he's good to go today?
Well, we'll see how it shakes off before kickoff here. But the fact that they made the move with Mannion this morning, Mannion is vaccinated, which would mean that he was showing symptoms. At this point, the testing protocol doesn't require you to test every day if you're vaccinated unless you were showing symptoms. So that would give some cause for concern, but if Cousins was not placed on that list this morning, that would seem to suggest that they're going to be okay, at least for today. It does make you wonder a little bit about how the rest of this week is going to go, and obviously that becomes a bigger concern heading into another big one next Sunday night in Green Bay. And then Kellen Mond is a guy that, of course, has not been active yet. So is he ready to run the offense if Cousins wasn't available for whatever reason? Because remember, Cousins is playing with a cracked rib. So the sort of security level they have with Cousins is maybe not as high as it's been, and you at any point need your backup to be ready to go. So Kellen Mond, like you said, is one play away from having to be out there and potentially try to carry this team in a spot where they have to win right now.
Do we have any sense for how much that rib injury might be bothering Cousins? We know the performance Monday night was ugly, and I think that sack where he got landed on probably was the one that...
Akeem Hicks.
Yeah, where Hicks landed on. It's like 370 pounds of Hicks landing on you.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not pretty. Do we have any idea how limited he might be or how he's feeling heading into this game?
Well, he looked in practice this week when he was throwing like he was wincing a little bit. But the fact that he was a full participant later in the week, I would think, is a good sign. I mean, you saw him really 2 days after that injury still out throwing, even though it was a walkthrough, and then the rest of the week, he's a full participant, ready to go. He doesn't, from what I've heard, doesn't think it's going to hold him back very much today. But if it gets hit again, if it's painful during the game, we'll have to see how that plays out. It's certainly worth watching today as we go through it. But he's a tough guy. I mean, this is the first time he's been on the injury report. I mean, not just to say nothing of missing a game. He has not been on an injury report since week one of 2013. So
that's unbelievable.
It is. It's an incredible streak. He missed the one game a couple of years ago when the Vikings sat all their starters. But every other snap, he's been available not only for games but for practice too. So he's no doubt he's played through a lot of things that we probably don't even know about. And I have no doubt he'll go out there and try to gut through it today.
And by all reports, he'll have Adam Thielen to throw to. How close to healthy? How is that ankle? You hear high ankle sprain, you usually think 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks. He has come back remarkably quickly. How close to 100% do we think Thielen is?
I don't know that he'll be 100%, but I think he's going to be closer than you typically would be with a high ankle sprain at this stage of things. When we talked to him this week, he said, I feel like I'm ahead of schedule from where a lot of these things go. He didn't think Monday night like he was going to be able to explode and cut the way that he wanted to, but he said, I was feeling fine. I could have gone out and played from that perspective, but I just wasn't able to do everything that I wanted to be able to do. So I think from Monday to Sunday, it's probably a lot to expect that he's going to be completely 100%, but I think he will certainly be functional enough to help them and functional enough to give Kirk Cousins another option with Jalen Ramsey probably shadowing Justin Jefferson, and they're going to need that because we saw it, I think, Monday night that when Kirk doesn't have second and third reads that he is quite as confident in, he still had K.J. Osborne but didn't have Thielen, I think when Jefferson gets the attention that he's going to get, that does have an effect. So even having Thielen out there in the red zone, able to kind of be that security blanket, I think makes a big difference today.
Yeah, I think it's huge. Third downs as well. I mean, as you say, if Ramsey is maybe not eliminating Justin Jefferson from the conversation, but going to make him less prolific than we're accustomed to, having Thielen out there is huge, especially on a day when you don't have Dalvin Cook, so you don't have that explosive running game. You know, nothing against Alexander Mattison, but it's tough to run on the Rams. And a guy like Cook can make a difference against a really good run defense. So, man, I think anything 80% above a Thielen is huge for the Purple today.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and like you said with Cook, he certainly is a step above Madison. We've had enough sample of this now where Madison's had to step in. Certainly a very functional number two running back, but just not as dynamic as Cook is. And that makes a difference in a game like this where you're not probably going to be able to crack off 6 or 7 yards very consistently. You are going to have to get some of the big chunk plays if you want to have a consistent running game, given how good the Rams are up front. So anything you can do to get more of those big gains, I think, is going to help. Thielen probably isn't the guy that gives you as much of that, but he has done that over the years, and if he can just keep the sticks moving, that does help make up for some of what you lose not having Cook out there.
Talking with Ben Gessling, Star Tribune, Vikings beat reporter. Let's talk about the elephant in the room when it comes to that unit, and that's the offensive line going up against Aaron Donald, Von Miller, Leonard Floyd, without Mason Cole now, who seemed to be a nice addition at right guard. He's on IR with the elbow injury. Does that put Udo back into that spot? Let's talk about the offensive line and the challenges that interior has today against this Rams defense.
Yeah, it certainly is a big challenge because we have seen defensive tackles, whether it's Akeem Hicks, whether it's Kenny Clark, Aaron Donald, they haven't seen as much, but Aaron Donald does it to everybody. That is going to be, I think, the big challenge today is can you keep that pressure up the middle out of Cousins' face? Can you keep that from affecting his dropbacks, affecting his reads? That has been a big problem for this group, and I think that'll be probably job one today is trying to take care of Aaron Donald. Mike Zimmer said this week that you can't really eliminate him because he's just so fast off the snap and gets into your backfield so quickly that you're not going to be able to completely shut him out. But if he's not in a situation where he's completely changing the flow of the game from snap to snap, I think you have to count that as a win to some degree. And, yeah, I think it's Ole Udo back in there today, and you're going to have to try to figure out ways to slow him down and then also worry about the guys on the outside. And like you said, with Leonard Floyd and Von Miller, they bring a lot at you. And being able to control that group and keep them from affecting the game the way the Bears did in a lot of ways on Monday night is going to be a big part of what they have to get done today if they want to be productive.
I think I saw a stat. Kirk is 0 for 18 the last 2 weeks when pressured.
Yeah.
So the fan has learned he's likely to face pressure today. He's got a rib he's worried about. You just have to figure that they've crafted a game plan to get rid of the ball quickly, right? I mean, just to find ways, whether it's the Madison out of the backfield catching passes, slants, just quick outs, just to take that chance that Kirk gets hurt, especially now with Mannion out. Obviously, protecting Kirk is all important today.
Yeah, it is. And I think they will do whatever they can to try to mitigate the pressure. Cousins has been a lot better this year at getting rid of the ball. Overall, I mean, that was not the case Monday night. But overall,
yeah,
his release time has been a lot quicker. He's made more plays with his feet. I think he's shown a little more intuition in the pocket overall this year. And that has helped. The sack numbers are lower this year than what they've been, certainly than what they were last year. And I think you're going to have to do some of those things, whether it's getting rid of the ball, probably moving him around, keeping the pocket rolling, putting him out on some bootlegs at times, get those defensive linemen worn out trying to chase him around as much as you can. That is a tool they can resort to at times today. I think they'll have to do that because just expecting to play a drop-back game where he's back there in the pocket and you have those guys bearing down on him, I don't like that matchup. So he has to do what he can, and they have to do what they can to help that offensive line kind of help him.
Let's switch sides to the other side of the ball. When the Vikings are on defense dealing with that Rams offense, that's without left tackle Andrew Whitworth, the 40-year-old left tackle, landed on the COVID list. His backup is out, too.
Yep.
So there is potential to get Matthew Stafford into some trouble, and he's been very willing to hand the ball off to other teams this season. Went through a pretty bad stretch there. They seem to have righted the ship, but he does not like pressure, especially up the middle. So let's talk about the matchup when the Rams have the ball. How do you think, and I will certainly wish Andre Patterson well. I know he's on the COVID list as well. How does his unit, I'm assuming without him out there today,
yeah,
deal with that Rams offense?
Yeah, I mean, I think the loss of Whitworth is important because Whitworth is still, even at 40 years old, played awfully well this season. And the fact that you don't have your left tackle, you probably don't have your backup, and you don't have a quarterback that is as mobile as he used to be. Stafford kind of had a little bit of sneaky mobility in his younger years, doesn't do quite as much of that as he used to. So if you can get pressure, probably having to manufacture some blitz stuff because they've done that fairly well. But you've had guys like DJ Wonnum and Sheldon Richardson, I think, do a fairly good job when you're rushing just four, and you can accentuate that with Anthony Barr, Eric Kendricks, Harrison Smith, the different blitz packages Mike Zimmer's going to throw. They have to get some pressure on Stafford, because the thing that Stafford will do, and he's done more this year than he did in Detroit, is test you downfield. And they have the guys to do that, certainly with Cooper Kupp, Odell Beckham. So the way you win is probably the way the Vikings have done it for a long time. It's that bet that we can get to you before you can get to our secondary. And I think certainly with Stafford today, that's going to have to be a big part of the recipe.
I don't feel like the season Cooper Kupp's having has been talked about enough.
Yeah.
I mean, they find ways to get the ball in his hands. And yes, they have OBJ now, which gives them, with Robert Woods having been injured a number of weeks ago, a reliable other guy you have to worry about. But man, what that guy has done this season, how prolific he has been week after week, no team can stop him. What have you seen when you've watched the film of him play?
Yeah, he's been awfully impressive. And I think we saw hints of this the last time the Vikings played them, honestly. He was the slot guy at the time, kind of running a lot of those leak route concepts, and had a big night against them 3 years ago. But, you know, a guy that's a savvy route runner is more explosive than people probably have accounted for in the past, and just it's been awfully tough getting the ball over the middle and being able to make plays after the catch. I mean, it's been impressive to watch kind of him going from probably the number three guy in that offense back when it was Brandon Cooks, Robert Woods, and now he's caught as many passes as anybody in the NFL. He's the guy that makes them go. I mean, Odell Beckham certainly has been the higher profile receiver over the years, but at this point, it's their offense kind of runs through Cooper Kupp, and trying to deal with him today is going to be a big challenge for the Vikings. It's been a big challenge, really, for everybody. But it's going to be, I think, a lot of what the Rams try to do today is say, let's try to test this secondary and see if we can get some things downfield, especially against guys like Cameron Dantzler, Mackenzie Alexander. I think you're going to see those guys tested downfield, and they're going to have to be able to hold up to it if they want to win this one.
We know the Vikes are 7-7. The margin for error is razor thin. A loss today drops their playoff chances to 11%. Do you get the sense that they look at this like a playoff game, and should they lose, you know, falling to 7-8, and all the questions are going to be asked about what's going to happen to this team next season? Are they looking, you think, at the big picture right now, or are they focused that this feels like a playoff game, a game we just have to win?
Well, I think that's the only thing you can do right now is you have to say, let's focus on this one. Let's try to get a win here and then move on from there, because the big picture questions are certainly going to be there if they lose, and those are probably for another day. But the only way you can really answer those is to get into the playoffs and make some noise. And the only way you're going to be able to do any of that, it starts with this one. You have to get a win. You have to, for a lot of the reasons that you mentioned, this one affects the tiebreakers, I think, as much or more as anything else they're going to have the rest of the way. So this is an imperative one for them. If they're going to make a run, you have to beat either the Rams or the Packers. And all the percentages say that this one has a bigger effect on things than anything else you're going to see. So, yeah, this is important, and this is the only way they're going to be able to deal with a lot of those questions, is to win and move on and see what next Sunday night brings at Lambeau Field.
I'll let you go with this one. What do you think we see out there today? Do the Vikes find a way?
I picked the Rams. I think it's going to be close. I think the Vikings will make this a tighter game than we expect in a lot of ways, because I think they'll be able to do some things in that against that secondary if they can protect Cousins. But I just think the Rams being able to affect things up front and the weapons they have testing that secondary is going to be a little too much for the Vikings today. So, you know, it's one of those that will probably come down to the last play as usual. It will have me ripping up my game story in the last 3 minutes, as I seem to do every week. But, yeah, I picked the Rams, I think, by four.
That's why they pay you the big bucks, because you can rip up your story and start from scratch at a moment's notice.
You know, covering baseball for 5 years and covering bad baseball where people blow leads and bullpens are terrible and you have to throw everything out the window, that has served me very well this year.
Sealed you for this.
Yes, it has.
Ben, thanks so much. Enjoy the game today. We'll check out your coverage afterwards, and enjoy your holiday week. Thanks,
you
man.
You too. Thanks, Dave.
Ben Gessling, Star Tribune beat reporter for the Purple. We appreciate him joining us on Sunday Sermons. When we come back for our final segment, a quick look at the Wolves as they get back for post-holiday action on Monday night. Those that are able to play, I think... they might want to check the local JCC or the Y to find some players at this point. And we'll look at some of the big Week 16 matchups on the slate today outside of U.S. Bank Stadium as well. Final segment, Sunday Sermons.
On the Fan.
Back with you at 9:42, final segment. Today's edition of Sunday Sermons. Dave Sinek and in for Dan Barrero today. Dan enjoying the holiday weekend with his family, as he should, for this brief one-hour tour. We'll make way for Vikings football Sunday at the top of the hour. If you missed the breaking news at the top of the past hour, Vikings backup quarterback Sean Mannion placed on the COVID list this morning. He is vaccinated, was showing symptoms, and tested positive, so he is out. Kellen Mond, your backup, he will be active for the first time as an NFL player, and that's important because we know Kirk, who, you know, doesn't miss time, but is dealing with a cracked rib, and certainly if he aggravates that, Kellen Mond is the next man up. Saw a tweet from Courtney Cronin during the break that Justin Jefferson needs just 21 receiving yards today to surpass OBJ for the most receiving yards ever by a player in his first two seasons. That is remarkable, and kudos to that young man. That should happen fairly early, whether Jalen Ramsey's covering him or not. I believe the Vikings will find a way to get number 18 the football today, and that is a very impressive record if you think about it. 2,755 yards, the record, 21 yards to pass it, and he's got three games left. It's just remarkable stat, and I understand they throw a lot more now, but I mean, just think back to Moss's start, you know, and obviously all the great receivers in recent years. That is incredible. I want to just jump on the NBA for just a moment. As we saw just before Christmas, that D'Angelo Russell was placed on the COVID list, joining Karl Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards, Patrick Beverley, Jared Vanderbilt, Torian Prince, and Josh Okogie. That's getting hit pretty hard right there. And, you know, we talked about it. We all know this. The COVID right now is going to just lead all sports stories for the foreseeable future. And the team that can stay whole probably has the best chance to win the Super Bowl or the NBA title until this thing calms down just a bit. I thought the Wolves' effort in Utah was, well, remarkable seems like too strong an adjective. But was very impressive for as undermanned as they were against that Utah Jazz team, and they stayed right in it. You know, they were down double digits a good chunk, but they kept fighting back and scrapped. And you love to see that with a bunch of guys that, you know, did not expect to play and do not play. I thought that was pretty nice to see. But the Wolves lost to Utah. They dropped to 15-17 and are now tied for eighth in the West, kind of, I think, by a tiebreaker, they're ninth behind Dallas. They have the same record. But barring a big collapse, it appears like the Wolves will have enough to at least get into that play-in tournament because there are a lot of have-nots in the West, and I think the team below them is already five games under 500, and the Wolves have shown, if they can get their guys back, that they are a competitive team that plays good defense now and can actually stay in most games. This week, they return to action Monday with the Celtics in town, then Tibbs and the Knicks the next night, and then they head back to Utah on Friday. You know, back when December started, Trent and I on In the Zone talked about just a rugged December schedule, and can they just at least tread water through January 3rd? They've got a couple of L.A. games, the turn of the new year, back-to-back Lakers-Clippers that back when we were looking at this looked really meaty, but don't look as meaty now because the Lakers are struggling and the Clippers now lost Paul George, and so maybe it's not as ugly in early January as it looked earlier, but they got to get guys back. And it sounds like Anthony Edwards and Torian Prince are on schedule to return Monday for that Celtics game. But I don't know that they'll have Kat or D'Lo or Beverly or Vanderbilt just yet, and maybe not for those two games to start the week. But I just think it's a good sign that the guys that are able to play, and again, a number of them are not in this rotation, have shown that they can compete. Even Jake Layman, you know, had some nice moments against Utah and showed why he was given that contract a couple years ago. But, and I wonder, I got to think the Christmas ratings yesterday were an all-time low for the NBA when you're up against the NFL. I watched very little. I saw the Bucks-Celtics game, and actually Milwaukee had the biggest comeback on Christmas Day in 25 years, coming back from 19 down to beat the Celtics in Giannis's first game back from COVID, and you wouldn't have thought he ever had it. He had like 36 points, 12 rebounds, a big block at the end, and Milwaukee got that win. But COVID is the story of the day, and it's not just obviously a sports story. We know it's all over the world right now, but for us that love sports and follow these games, it's the prevailing headline. And for those of you that like to play fantasy football and you're in your playoffs this weekend and you've managed your roster the best of your can, the best of your ability, all you can do is, you know, peek on Twitter and hope your guys don't show up on the list. And if you have Travis Kelce, you're out of luck because he has been ruled out today for the Kansas City Chiefs. Still has not cleared COVID protocols. They did get Tyreek Hill back yesterday, so he'll be on the field for the Chiefs, but Travis Kelce will not. And that's going to be the way of the world here for the rest of this regular season and the playoffs. You know, you might grab the number one seed and feel really good about yourself, and then suddenly six starters go out that week and you're dead. That's just the way it's going to be. So football is not the overriding reason you're going to win a Super Bowl. It's going to be who's healthy, who's still standing. And it really puts a crimp into a really good game on today's schedule in the AFC, where the AFC North is just a complete toss-up. And Cleveland really had a chance last night to make things interesting. But Baltimore is going to Cincinnati today, and they lost their backup quarterback yesterday to COVID, Tyler Huntley, who ran all over the Packers last week. They won't have Lamar Jackson either. I think they're down to Josh Johnson, who I think they poached from the Giants just a week or two ago. And that's the reality. The Baltimore Ravens season is in the balance today, going on the road to play a Bengals team that, you know, is Jekyll and Hyde. You know, they can look really good and they can look terrible. And they never seem to grab the opportunity when it's there for them. But man, now Baltimore has to go in there, not just with a third string quarterback who probably has to introduce himself to everybody in the huddle today. But Baltimore has like 12 or 13 healthy defensive players on their team. Like half of their defense is out with COVID and assorted injuries. So they have been devastated this week, like few teams, in a week where they really couldn't. I mean, that line early in the week, I think, was a 3-point spread. Bengals favored by 3. It's now 7 in today's paper. I'm surprised it's still on the board with Baltimore dealing with the issues at quarterback that they are. So that game's lost a bit of its luster. Best game is probably the Bills at the Patriots for the rematch from, was that a Monday night game or a Sunday night game a couple weeks ago when the weather was so bad in Buffalo and Mac Jones threw the ball 3 times and New England was able to win a game in Buffalo? Well, Buffalo has to have this game. I mean, they must win this game. It changes everything for them. They can win their division. They're favored to win the division if they win this game. And if they lose, they got a claw to get into the playoffs. So I'm fascinated by this one. I'll be jumping between Vikes, Rams, and this one because the Patriots are coming off a loss, and you know Belichick off a loss is usually, you know, has his guys together. They're coming off that loss in Indy. They had a little extra time to get ready. But man, I just don't know what the Bills do going into Foxborough today. I don't think weather's a big factor. But how do they flip the script? You know, how do they get Belichick out of their heads? I kind of like Buffalo to go on the road, though, and get the small upset. I've had a hard time buying into New England, and probably shouldn't. It's just because you look at their offense and you go, well, who, name a guy. I mean, who scares you? But, man, that defense, I think a lot of us forgot how many key players opted out last season, and then they bought a bunch of guys in free agency, and that defense is legit. I think it's all about how healthy Josh Allen is, because if he's able to move the ball with his legs, that's something that any defense can struggle with. And they did run the ball a bit better last week. But that's the one game today that I find really interesting, because COVID's not a huge factor in that one. Every other one there is. How about the Bears starting Nick Foles today at Seattle with Justin Fields dealing with an ankle injury and Dalton hurt? They turn to Nick Foles, and he goes out to Seattle to see if the Bears can spring an upset in Seattle with their third-string quarterback. Of course, Viking fans will be watching the Eagles and Saints, right? Need the Eagles and Saints to lose, if at all possible. Now, they both have home games, and they're favored, but the Saints are starting Ian Book. That's not a quarterback's name, Ian Book. I'm sorry. That's your professor of, I'm going to go with history. He's like a Western civilization professor, Ian Book. That's that name. But somehow he's going to play quarterback. He's the former Notre Dame quarterback who will now start for the Saints against the Dolphins. And so that's a good opportunity for the Saints to stub their toe, right? If you're a Viking fan and you need the Eagles and Saints to get that eighth loss, Dolphins have been red hot. I like the Saints heading into the week with a quarterback, but with Ian Book, got to think Miami should be able to handle the Saints on Monday Night Football, I think. Eagles have the Giants. I don't think you're going to see a loss by the Eagles today against that Giants team, which is just terrible. And I think Mike Glennon is still playing quarterback. They did announce, it was reported this morning, they're going to bring back the coach, Joe Judge, and the quarterback, Daniel Jones, and Giants fans are rejoicing everywhere because they're running back that team for another season. So I think the Eagles will take care of their business today, but they've got a tricky, well, they got to play Dallas at the end of the season, week 18, and a game that I think might end up being flexed if the Eagles are still in the playoff hunt. And as a Packer fan, I'd love to see Dallas lose another game in case Green Bay stubs its toe. But you're watching the scoreboard, hoping the Eagles and Saints trip up today. But in the meantime, the Vikes have to take care of business. And as we talked about with Ben Gessling just a bit earlier, it's going to be tricky against a Rams team that does a lot of things really well that are going to make things difficult for the Vikes, led by Aaron Donald, the best defensive player in football, the best defensive player we've seen the last 10 years, can wreck games for an offensive line interior that's not real solid. And we know that is a bit of an issue. We saw what Akeem Hicks and the Bears did last week. So can the Vikes get their act together?
And Dave, I do have a bit of breaking Vikes news
here.
What do you got? I found the button too, but that's not the breaking news.
Nice work.
The Vikings have placed Rashad Hill on COVID-19 reserve, the tackle. So another O lineman goes down for the Vikes.
But
that's officially.
But he's not a starter.
Tweeted out.
Correct. He doesn't.
Well,
start.
But that's the thing with O lineman. You don't know what's in the room.
Well,
it's breaking news nonetheless because this game, they're going to need all the O-linemen they can get.
Well, no doubt. And the fact that it just broke now and the Sean Mannion news broke at 9 that he's on the list. I mean, are we clear? Like, could any other Vikings turn up on this list in the next 2 hours? I'd like to think that you test everybody early enough where you know by now. But the fact that that just broke, I mean, I think the real concern is just Kirk, right? I mean, he has dodged everything so far. And, man, right now, he's all you got. I mean, Kellen Mond, you'd love to see what the kid has, but not when you're still fighting for a playoff spot against a team like the LA Rams and then the Packers next week. You'd like to have Kirk and Dalvin certainly next week if possible. But as it stands now, Kirk's good to go, and the Vikes have a big challenge in front of them. I don't know. I gotta think the Rams pull this out, but I do think it's close. I think the defense for Minnesota plays well and turns Stafford over a couple times. And it's a one-possession game, but I think the Rams have too much. We'll see. Enjoy your football. Vikings football Sunday is next. 2 hours to get you ready. Until then, enjoy your Sunday. Hope you all had a great Christmas. For Brett Blakemore, I'm Dave Sinekin. Have a great week.